there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katzlamitas. I write the Cats Report for Las Vegas Sun, LasVegasSun.com, Las Vegas Weekly, and I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group, the award-winning Greenspun Media Group. Sitting with me is Trisha McCrone, my ever-vivacious co-host. Trish, tell us about yourself, will you?
Well, I have really the biggest news that could ever be.
Lay it on us!
Okay, and I talk about it with everybody. It's all I talk about. It's basically my universe. You know how much I've talked about Breaking Bad on this show?
A lot.
A lot. And my arch nemesis, who is part of our show, Josh Bell, was not the fan that I was. But
Josh has given it a tepid endorsement.
Yes. Okay. So, and I disagree. That's what opinions are all about. He has a right to his, even though it's wrong. So since I have recorded, I went to an event in LA and I met Bryan Cranston. I actually was with Heisenberg, Walter White. I have a picture, and everybody who I meet, who I see, must look at it. I am obsessed beyond obsession. So, and he is nicer in person. He is hotter in person. He was so sweet. He kept hugging me because I was obviously like the 2-year-old schoolgirl flop sweating and like adoring him.
So at which event were you afforded the opportunity to meet?
It's called
Cranston.
Coach Arts. And what it does is it gives them like a music or art. It gives them things to do that are having to do with expressing themselves, whether it's writing or drama or different things. So what it does is instead of, you know, like Make-A-Wish, we'll make a wish, a dream come true. Like these kids, actually, there's a band playing at the event that they were all kids that had never played these instruments.
Oh, wow.
And they were taught these instruments by very famous musicians that
How
come
clever.
In. Yeah. And it's like, and this little girl came out and sang with one of her favorite musicians. I can't remember his name now. It's terrible. But it was really great. And Shonda Rhimes gave an award to Robin Roberts from Good Morning America
right.
and her sister. Her sister had donated her stem cells literally to keep her alive with her cancer.
Incredible story from Robin Roberts.
And, yeah. And just immediately, she's beautiful. Gosh, is she gorgeous.
Yeah. So I remember her from her ESPN days.
It was a beautiful event. Coach Art, it's a wonderful thing. But really quick, you found out what happened with the Cirque du Soleil performer.
The woman, Sarah Guillard.
You were the one who broke the story.
Yeah, was killed during a show, falling 94 feet off the perpendicular stage during Ka. OSHA has ruled on that. You can read about it on our website, LasVegasSun.com, but there's a whole accounting of it. But what happened was her rapid ascent caused the cord that she was being suspended from to sever off of its pulley.
But isn't that what she does every night? She didn't do anything different than she was supposed to, correct? It sounded like they were blaming her, which upset me.
They have not blamed the artist, but they have found, OSHA has found fault in the way that the apparatus has been handled inside the show and the training that they provided. They were cited for that, and it appears that she bumped a grid above the stage, possibly, that is in the form of a catwalk, and that caused that really thin cable. These are very thin cables that suspend these artists and cause it to come off its disc, hit the sharp edge of that disc and sever. And there are aerialists and artists flying around Cirque all the time, and it never has happened before, and it happened this time. So that's all I know about it right now. A lot of questions still.
Go to Las Vegas Sun to find
appeals are happening from MGM and Cirque, but OSHA has ruled on this, and now it's a matter of accounting for the family, the children behind, and how Cirque is going to ensure that it's a safe operation from here forward. All right. Coming up next, after Josh Bell, is a friend of ours, a great entertainer, one of the great stories in the city, Frankie Perez. And first, we're going to hear from Josh Bell in film, so stick around. I know we will.
Hi, this is Billy Johnson, author of If I Die, Tell Steve Martin I Found His Journal, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
Yeah! Hey, look, don't be upset with it, Pat. It wasn't their fault. Hey, look, I'm getting married, okay? This is a bachelor party. I needed you there.
I'm going home.
Oh, for Christ's sakes, how many times I gotta tell you I'm sorry?
You can't say it enough, my friend. You can't say it enough.
Every time I see you, we go through the same
old thing. One more word, I'm gonna knock your block off like I did when we were in the fifth grade.
That's Michael Douglas and Robert De Niro in the new Las Vegas set comedy, Last Vegas. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Douglas, De Niro, Morgan Freeman, and Kevin Kline play a quartet of old friends who head to Las Vegas for the quickie wedding of Douglas's character. The Las Vegas scenes are shot like an LVCVA commercial, but with less creativity, and the Vegas cliches compete with the old age cliches for the title of most obvious. Marketed as a sort of the hangover for senior citizens, Las Vegas proves much less audacious and much less funny than its theoretical inspiration, relying on predictable humor and equally predictable sentiment instead of something bold or unexpected. I give Las Vegas 2 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is Ender's Game, an adaptation of the classic sci-fi novel by Orson Scott Card.
We need minds like yours, Ender. Young people integrate complex data more easily than adults. If there's a chance that because of you, the Formics might leave us alone forever, then I have to ask you to come with me.
It's what I was born for, right?
The title character of Ender's Game, played by Asa Butterfield of Hugo, is a preteen charged with training for military command in humanity's war against an ant-like alien race known as the Formics. Card's novel is as philosophical as it is character-driven, and although some of the social commentary has been pared down or taken out, the movie still takes on serious issues alongside its effects-heavy action sequences. I give Ender's Game 3.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Before we knew of famous Las Vegas rock bands, The Killers, Panic at the Disco, and Imagine Dragons, Frankie Perez was this city's hottest singer, songwriter, and musician. He had released the single Something Crazy off the album Poor Man's Son, and that was more than a decade ago. What has happened with Frankie Perez today? He's rebuilding his career by playing such intimate haunts as Jack's Irish Pub at Palace Station, Quinn's at Green Valley Ranch, and Sin City Theatre at Planet Hollywood. He's also contributing music to the series Sons of Anarchy. Woo-hoo! On the FX cable channel. There goes my left ear. Welcome to Cats with a Dish, a man with quite a story, and he's quite
only
a guy, Frankie Perez. Thanks for coming in, Frankie.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You hear that intro a lot, don't you, about your life?
I do.
I know you do.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, but sometimes it goes a little to the left. It gets a little crazy.
A little bit crazy.
We'll keep it
in the fairway.
Yeah, let's keep it in the
so
fairway.
So far. If you want to hook...
Oh, nice
if you wanna,
golfing analogy.
A nice par three.
If you want to hook a drive, that's up to you. But
So, has there been any mulligans you wanted to...
There has been a couple mulligans for
I've
Frank.
Called a few mulligans in my day.
Let's talk about this. I got to know of you around that time when the radio single was out.
Right.
And you had a lot of success with that first album. Mm-hmm. And I saw you play, you opened for Lynyrd Skynyrd at the Orleans arena.
Right.
In those days. And you were on a meteoric path.
Yeah.
And then Frankie was... you know, kind of disappeared from the radar for a while and went off on doing some different things. So take us through that period. Where did your career turn?
You know, that was actually an amazing run. I signed to Atlantic in 2000, put that record out in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And the single, Something Crazy, just caught fire. And
it's on radio all the time.
Yeah, it was on radio all the time. And the video, CMT picked it up which was weird because it wasn't a country record, but they picked it up and put it on heavy rotation. So that gave me a lot of room to work, right? So I basically did the States for a couple years and a bunch of fairs. And through that period, I picked up some mulligans.
Right? Cause the mulligan.
Yeah.
You're a rock star.
Yeah, you know. But,
living the rock star lifestyle.
Right, but being from here, I've learned how to do that very well, in a sense. You know what I mean? And it just got to a point where I was like, I have to pull back, my health and my family is more important than this. So I pulled back and I just kind of regrouped and ended up taking it really slow. And I moved to New Jersey, played in like bands out there and cover bands actually, which I'd never done. But learned how to work a crowd, an unruly crowd, because you run into them on the Jersey Shore and how to win them over.
Yeah, Snooki, those Snooki situations. Yeah. I would want to be playing in front of them.
The ones who didn't make the reality show.
Right. The actual ones that would have made a better TV show.
You know what I mean? I can imagine.
And while I was out there, I got a call from from a couple of guys from System of a Down, from their management. I had in my, when I was around 18 or so, I played Orange County and all these hardcore bands, and they remembered me and they asked me to come audition. So that actually pulled me right back into it, like immediately. Mm-hmm. And then I toured with those guys. I joined a band called Scars on Broadway, which was with the two members, John Delmayan and Darren Malachi in the System of a Down. And I joined their band as a guitar player and did that for a couple years and was able to tour the world and get my sea legs back. And through that gig, we played Coachella, and this was actually a real fateful day for me, and it kind of paved my way back into LA, is I met Matt Sorum,
mm-hmm.
from Guns N' Roses and The Cult, and then at that time he was the drummer for Velvet Revolver.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Scott Weiland had left the band and they were looking for a singer.
You went Cleveland boy.
Yeah.
Scott Weiland. I'm from Cleveland.
Yeah, I just played a gig with him, which is something I just
literally with Weiland?
Yeah, with Weiland, which is incredible. Wow. Yeah, it's actually full circle. That, okay. Like, so I met Sorum and I got the opportunity to try out for Velvet Revolver. And I got that gig. I had that gig for about 6 months. And then Slash decided he didn't want to do Velvet Revolver. He wanted to go on his own. Slash decided he was going to go do a Slash and Friends thing instead. And that opportunity didn't happen. But then through that, I was able to work with each one of those guys individually, with Slash, Duff, Matt, mm-hmm. Dave Kusher, and I wrote a song for the Avengers soundtrack. And that just opened all these doors to me. And through that, I met Bob Thiel, who's the music director and composer for Sons of Anarchy. So that's that tie. And I've just been working ever since.
Wow.
So a few years ago, while I was out there, I joined this band called Camp Freddy, which is basically this massive, like, it's an A-list cover band, I guess you would say, you know? An all-star cover band, and it's Dave Navarro of Sorum, Billy Morrison from The Cult, and Billy Idol's band, Chris Chaney from Jane's mm-hmm. Addiction, and we just basically do corporate events and like benefits and things.
Slash's birthday party,
mm-hmm. And we were in town playing the Palms. Michael Greco, he was the entertainment director at the time.
Yep,
he saw me and he's like, "What are you doing, dude?" I was like, oh, "Man, I." Just looking for a gig. I'd love to come back to yeah. town. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And he did. He brought me back to the Palms, and that got me back into the city.
Right. You know, that was right at the end of when he was the entertainment director at
right.
the Palms, right?
Right.
They just opened the lounge.
Yeah. That time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so then through that, Judy Alberti.
Love Judy.
Yeah. She's amazing. And she saw me at the Palms. And then that became my relationship. From there, I started my relationship with Stations Casinos. And so I've been working with them now. So I've been in town playing regularly for about almost 3-4 years now.
Okay, yeah. I have to say that I've heard Katz talk about you, but I had never seen you perform.
Right.
So I was in town for the Montana Bureau of Katz of the Dish that I was living in for a few months, and I didn't know what to expect.
Right.
I walked in,
right.
and I was so blown away, and I have to say this, that you, I mean, I think that intimate setting, I saw you at Sin City,
right.
Comedy
Great
Theater
club.
At Planet Hollywood, and I was so blown away. You epitomize the live music that should be right now right. in Las Vegas. The intimate setting, that this, I mean, there's been so many, what I think is the coolest, I think you are the coolest gig right now in town is what I'm saying. The
Thank
coolest
you so
show
much.
To go see
Thank
is
you.
To go and see you. I mean, it used to be, it's gone, like there was a time when it was, you know, like Zoe Bowie when they were first in the lounges.
Right.
It was like, it was such a cool experience. And Frankie Marino when he was at the Palms and different things
right.
like that. And then people go on to big rooms and it's still great, but it changes. It
right.
kind of almost loses some of the cool factor of that
right.
intimate thing.
Right.
It's probably been a decade since I walked into a show that you can just walk into, like you can walk into yours. And I was so completely blown away. And I am like the president of your fan club right now. I mean, and people would think like I am the total like blonde girly girl thing, like coming in and like, oh, like with your tats and the harsh, you know, like the really like serious things. I was so blown away. You are so talented. And
thank you.
Everybody out there, you have to go and see him. And I've never gone out and said this at a show, have I? In one of our shows, Cats.
Not to my
like I've never made
no.
such
He's like,
a declaration.
Not today.
No, but seriously, I think that
I think
you are
right.
the coolest thing. You are like the coolest guy to go see in Las
Thank
Vegas
you so
right now.
Much.
And I 100% believe that.
Thank you so much.
You
I
do
appreciate
inhabit
that.
You inhabit the show.
Thank
I mean,
you.
And that has always been the case with you.
Right.
That has never been a problem.
No.
Live performance for Frankie has always been a given.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I keep coming back to how come Frankie hasn't been, you know, more prominent.
You know, it's, and, yeah, I'll tell you.
It's not by design necessarily.
No, you know, I'll be honest with you, and it's something. It's like a self-realization I've found. At the end of the day, you know, I'm the guy. I get in my own way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I get in my own way. I've had
a lot of creative people do.
You know, yeah. And I'm learning, and I'm sure you could see on that show. It's like, I'm in a different place. Like, I'm done getting in my own way. Like, listen, I'm a singer. I'm an entertainer. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a manager. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to let my manager manage. I'm going to let my lawyer, and I'm going to do what I do, you know? And that's where I'm at. It's funny you say that. Like, a couple years ago, I played this gig. It was a benefit for a friend of mine that passed away in Los Angeles, and his name is John O'Brien, an amazing producer. And everyone came out. It was Linda Perry, Sheryl Crow, the Sons of Anarchy band. Vel Revolver put, like, things aside and got together for that show. The day before, Aston Martin gives me a car to drive to the event. It's $300,000 car.
That's not a bad thing to be.
Yeah, right.
So far, so good.
Yeah, yes. So far, so good.
I'm liking this story.
Right. But get this. It's actually very telling. And then it's very telling. And then John Varvatos gives me a bunch of clothes to wear. Mm-hmm. Right. Gives me a bunch of clothes to wear. And then Red Bull gives me all these drinks backstage, and I have all these things that people give me, and I go on stage and I do my thing. I do what you saw. Yeah, I mean, I've been doing it a long time. And it's like, and I do my thing, and crowd goes nuts, and Sheryl Crow wants my number, and all these people want to know me, and all these things, right? But then at the end of the night, you know, it's like the Cinderella man. Like, you know, the next day, I give back the car, I give back the clothes. Red Bull comes out one way or another.
Red Bull is a temporary experience,
you know. And
the rush goes. You know, yeah,
and I go home and I'm sitting there and it's like, and no one calls, and it's like one of those things where it's a trip. Just the stars haven't aligned and hasn't been my moment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I think that's where a lot of my passion and the things that you see on stage come from. It's like I'm gonna do this till the wheels fall off. And now I gauge success in moments instead of, I used to want everything. I used to want the VH1s, I used to want the Grammy, but now I really gauge success in moments. That show to me was a great success. The show you saw was a great success.
Oh, and your son came out? I mean, yeah, it was just, I mean, you know? I was, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was like And we get jaded here in Vegas. Right. We do, because especially, you know, being in the entertainment industry here, yeah, that we see everything.
Right.
And I mean, and it's so much talent. But it's very rare that I walk into, or that I think anybody could walk into a place and just, I mean, it was like I was captivated immediately.
Right.
And you're so talented. But I get that. I get what you're saying. I think that a lot of, especially in our society right now, in the entertainment industry, a lot of times, you get people build you up just to tear you down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you know, it's a hard thing to deal with. And I mean, you look at the child stars, you look at all the kind of things that happen. I mean, it's a tale that is as old as time in the entertainment industry, what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think, thank God that it's not giving up is like in my DNA. Like, I'm going to do this, like I said, till the wheels fall off in you. And I think that attitude, that, it's a fist fight to me every time I get on stage. Like, someone's got to win, you know? And and I put that out there, and my band puts out there, and I'm just, and that's another thing. It's like, I got to give complete credit to what you saw is, I love my band. My band,
they're tight. They're really
unbelievable.
Good.
Unbelievable. You know, they're unbelievable. The truth is solid. And it took me a long time to get to that point where I literally can look anyway, and I trust that person and in their ability and who they are as a person, mm-hmm, in general. And I got that. I'm very
well
fortunate.
How do you not let, I mean, I'm gonna say this,
yeah,
and I'm not putting down any of the places that you're playing, but you're, because I love that intimacy, obviously. Yeah. I was just saying it, but you're better than the space, I guess, is what you can, is that harsh to say? I don't mean it to come off negative,
but no,
I mean,
not
how
at all.
How do you ever get it down?
He's got achievements that they're outsized jacks at Palace Station.
Except for it's a great name, Sons of Anarchy, but how do you not let it get you down? Like, I mean, how do you keep staying positive and not get back to that place that you were in Los Angeles?
You know, the thing is, it's that wasn't like, the little stages are like the things that happening wasn't my issue, like of why I had to call a couple mulligans. Like, that's never bothered me, because you'll get the same show that little room is going to get the same show that Slash gave that I when I played with him in Norway for 28,000 people. It's the same show. So,
I know, but don't you think I should be playing for 28,000 people?
You know, I get to with some of these other opportunities I have. I get to from time to time. Like I just did the Sons of Anarchy band. We just played the 110th anniversary of Harley Davidson, and there was 12,000 people out there. So I get those opportunities. I'm very fortunate that way. But I'll be honest with you, and this is the truth. I mean, hopefully, like no one that's here is like that's going to give me a big gig doesn't say no because of this. But I like the smaller rooms. I like it better. I like the intimacy.
Well, I do too, yeah.
I really do. As a performer, that's as real as you get. Like, that is as honest as you could possibly get. There's no hiding behind a fog machine or some massive light rig or a massive sound system. You got to give it. If you ain't good, the crowd's going to know.
You know, if there's smoke happening at some of these places, it's not a smoke machine. It's probably really smoke.
Yeah, right.
Tell me about, Frankie, tell me about, I mean, and we've talked before and away from this format about going back into Palace Station.
Right. Yeah, that's
what's
actually,
that like?
That's pretty incredible. Actually, my mother used to love gambling, and she used to love bingo. So she, when I was a kid, like a lot of kids, like I pretty much grew up in casinos, like in them, you know. And
I'm familiar with mothers that love gambling.
Yeah, you know, and she's stopped. It's been years since she did it. But my mom like loved bingo of all things. Like she loved bingo, you know. And so she would pick us up from school, drop us in the arcade, and then she would go play bingo. But as soon as I got old enough, when I was a kid, as soon as I got old enough, I was like, I'm not coming here. I'm staying home. I'm never coming back here again. Like I said, nothing to do with Palace. It's a great place. But as a kid, I didn't want to hang out there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I wanted to do other things. So I hadn't sat foot in that place. I hadn't sat since then until I got these gigs, you know? But it's now endearing to me. It's there's something about it, you know? Because I remember, Jerry Lopez is going to kill me, but this is the truth. I don't think I've even told him this. When I was a kid, Santa Fe was in some of those rooms.
They played Palace Station.
They were in some of those rooms. I remember like sneaking and watching those bands, and like I never separated a lounge from a stadium. To me, that was just performing, and that's just what I wanted to do, you know? And so
you're performing in the arcade?
Yeah, I'm actually in the arcade with Track and Field. Remember Track and Field?
Yes.
I hated that game.
Right next to it. And pit or in pole position.
Pole position. Yeah.
A few rounds of pole position.
Hey, I'm the centipede girl. Yeah. That's all I have to say.
You can do the soundtrack for pole position.
And the Palace show has turned into this really, it's actually really fun. It's, they're going to kill me. I play like 8 songs in 2 hours, but because we're just running shtick. It's like the crowd is just so much fun that I spend the majority of the time just talking.
Well, you're literally approachable. I know this is like people actually go up and start talking to you while you're playing.
The stage is 6 inches off the ground. It's like, yeah.
Tell me about you're in the middle of the song. People are walking up. Hey, how's it going?
Yeah,
giving you
100%.
A hug.
Yeah.
a little bit about that. I think this is the most recent album you've done, Addict.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. The title indicates, you know, the depth of what you've been through and some of your components of your career. How was that written? In what environment?
It was, it's that record, the title Addict is, a guy like me has no medium. And it's not just the obvious of drugs and alcohol. Addict to me is it's like love, loss, and vices. I'm addicted to it all. Like, I need drama. You know, if I love with everything I got until my heart gets broken. If I hate, I hate you. You know what I mean?
I know the feeling.
Yeah, so there's no medium, you know? And that's what, when you listen to the record, I think people were waiting for this, like, really, like, hard-driving, like, he's an addict. No, it kind of runs the gamut of emotion. Mm-hmm. And I wrote it, like, at the height of my actual, of my problems. And it was a very introspective record. And I wrote it in these casinos. I'd have gigs at the Palms, and I would walk off stage and go upstairs and write songs. And I recorded a couple of songs actually in hotels, like on the record. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And the way we recorded the rest of it we got to record this amazing studio in Los Angeles at used to be A&M Records, it's now Henson, and to tape, to analog tape, and and the way we did it was we played it live, and we'd get done, and I'd ask the band, we'd ask, you know, we'd basically be honest, how'd that feel, you know, and it felt great.
So you just record a performance.
Yeah, performance, and if it wasn't right, we went and did it again. You know what I mean? So then it had to be a general consensus where we were
like
saying,
Sun Records.
Or yeah, something. You know? Uh-huh. And then the whole band, we knew it. Like, we'd get done and we didn't have to talk. Like, that's the take.
Wow.
And we'd go in, and then I was working with an amazing engineer, David Schiffman, who's done every record, and he was just really part of it. And we're through, and we're looking to put it out. March. So, you know, I'm just looking for a partner.
Oh, you got to have a good big party.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Okay, I have to ask a question before we wrap things up. Have you met Jax in real life?
Yeah. His name is Jax.
It's Charlie Hunnam, right? Is that how you pronounce it? But to me, he's Jax. He's just Jax. And
I think he's Jax to everybody else.
Because
poor guys would be typecasted.
Because, no, actually, he just dumped Christian Grey. He was supposed to be Christian Grey in 50 Shades of Grey.
Right.
You know, because I am now the president of your fan club.
Right.
That the next time there's like a
How
whole
do you split
Sons
your time between Sons of Anarchy's fan club and my fan club? I feel
no,
a little gypped.
No. It's kind of one and the same, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that, you know, since we're now going to be BFFs, that perhaps my plus one status may come into play next time there's a Sons of Anarchy gathering.
100%.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that request.
100%. Okay. And by the way, he's a sweet guy. Very, very sweet guy.
And I like to watch him walk away.
That sounds like my ex-wife.
who among us hasn't been there?
I'm kidding.
I got an all-star team of that description.
I was about to say, there's been a lot of men I'd like to see walk away, not for the same reason as Jax.
Let us line up your gigs, Mr.
Perez.
Oh
my God, I need to calm down.
Yeah, no, I got a little nervous on that one, too.
We got to cool off the studio
Frankie
here.
Frankie and Jax could be my favorite things in the world right now.
Catch Frankie Perez after he cools off. You're at Sin City Theater on
Mondays.
And I'll be there every week at 10:30.
Pre-show, no cover.
Hello, yeah. Who gets that in town?
10:30 p.m. at Sin City Theater. And, and you're at Palace Station when?
I'm at actually GVR, Green Valley Ranch on Thursdays.
GVR Thursday.
Oh, even closer.
Yeah, 9 o'clock. We're over there at Quinn's.
Quinn's is a great place.
That's a full band in that room, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. Okay, they wanted me to do like a three-piece. I brought everyone.
I love it.
We'll be there Thursday. It's right there.
Thursdays, and then you're at, and then when is the
Palace? Palace is it? On Fridays.
At the Jack's Lounge.
And then I do...
It's actually bigger than Quinn's.
It's bigger than Quinn's. Yeah. And then
for that frame of reference,
the Palms once a month
and monthly at the Lounge of the Palms.
Yeah,
it's funny
Where
you should
can
mention
we find
bingo
all this out?
At Frankie Perez.
It's actually you can go to my website, which is fxptheartist.com.
And the bingo reference, I'll close with this, is ironic because Bingo took out Ovation at Green Valley Ranch.
Did it really?
Bingo.
God, I've been gone a long time. I've been in Montana a long time.
Bingo is going to be the death of us all, my friend. All right. Frankie Perez, my man, thank you for coming down
thank
here.
Thank you for
We're
having me,
going to see a lot of you in the coming months.
I'm going to be seeing a lot of him every show he does. I'm telling you, go
see
him.
A lot of me later.
There you go. Woo-hoo. I think you're looking dirty.
Trisha's going to be running the broad. I mean the board. We're going to close it up. Thanks for being with us, Frankie.